always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday afternoon by you guys. I am live during halftime of France and Morocco. So that is off to the side over there. I might react to that from time to time over the course of the show. Today we are going to be talking about the Clippers and Adam Silver, like remembering, oh yeah, that's right, I have a job to do. And apparently holding up the trade between the Clippers and the Toronto Raptors that would send Kawhi Leonard back north of the wall. We'll talk about a point that Derek Fisher made about LeBron James, and it's something that we've been talking about here quite a bit on the show, which is Lakers fans, I think it's a loud minority, but some Lakers fans' reactions to LeBron leaving, both before and as it happened, as well as obviously in the time since it's happened. We'll talk a little bit about how, you know, the way the LeBron and Clutch and Rich Paul are moving while they try to figure out their next destination, might lead to some of that frustration that Derek Fisher has noted as well. And then I'm going to kind of hand the show over to you guys for the final half of it or so. So hit me with questions and comments and all of that good stuff, and I will get to as many of those as I can. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive on in after a quick reminder, which kind of flies in the face of without any further ado, some quick ado, and then we will dive in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that, turn on those notifications both for the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications to the show. Please, subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is fine with me. And today's show, as always, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free Prize Picks lineups when you sign up and use that promo code. Again, that is HMA. We move on. We start with the Clippers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Paul George really hit the side of the backboard.
It was wide open. I can't even make sense.
Lou Williams, he said they just came together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the conference finals didn't do that.
Well, what happened was, it doesn't even matter.
You know, we didn't have time to get it together, you know?
Did he say that with like lemon pepper wings in his mouth? Is that what happened there?
He's nicking it off his
fingers. Oh man, there were some absences that cost us some time.
I just can't quite figure
picking it out of his teeth.
Why we don't have any chemistry.
It's like Lou, in your mic'd up segment, you said 1, 2, 3 Magic City, leaving the last huddle.
All right, we're going to keep this thing going. Let's take a quick second. And to be clear,
they didn't even make the Western Conference. After all that,
Kawhi Leonard still on the Clippers, technically. I saw a really funny tweet from Dime Dropper, which I don't know his actual name, But Dime Dropper sent a really funny tweet. It was like, what the hell? We can't get rid of this guy. I can understand Clippers fans being ready to move on. Much more so understand Clippers fans being ready to move on compared to Lakers fans who could not wait to move on from LeBron, which again, we'll talk about here in a bit. But yeah, the thing I've been wondering about basically since this news dropped, and the reason I didn't go live right away is because I am leaving tomorrow for Vegas, and Avery doesn't handle me being gone very well. So I told her we would have a daddy-daughter date while we, you know, or today in the run-up to me leaving tomorrow. And so I had taken her to our like community pool. We were out there when the news dropped, and I was like, shoot, kiddo, we got 15 minutes. Then got back here, got her situated, got her fed and all that stuff. And now here I am. But yeah, the thing I've been wondering about basically since this thing dropped was at Kyle Lowry's retirement ceremony, which Kawhi Leonard attended, Kyle Lowry made sure to tell not just one, but at least two, maybe a few aspiration jokes. And the first time he said it, he said it and he moved on really, really quickly to make it seem as if it wasn't a joke that he was trying to tell. And then he reiterated the same joke, made the same joke again at another like retirement ceremony deal that they were doing there. And yeah, like I was, you know, kind of laughed at it in the moment. And then when the news dropped today, where the league made an announcement and both the Clippers and the Raptors made announcements as well, which means they knew this was coming. The league announced that, you know, the Kawhi Leonard to Toronto Raptors trade, which had been agreed to in principle, had been widely reported. And, you know, again, Kawhi went to Toronto to be there for Kyle Lowry's retirement ceremony. Now this thing's on hold, which the timing of that is interesting for a few reasons. But it did make me wonder, like, there are very, very, very few things that governing bodies like less than if somebody thinks they get off of a crime or actually do get off of a crime, and then they mock that governing body for trying to try them for that crime in the first place. Those governing bodies, in this case, Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA here, they do not like being made fun of while they try to, you know, handle that investigation. An investigation who many think is a farce, myself included, think this thing is a farce. And it's been going. I saw a funny tweet that apparently this investigation into Kawhi Leonard benefiting from cap circumvention has taken longer than the investigation into the JFK shooting. Like, you know, maybe both of those things are cover-ups. But no, I find myself, you know, kind of wondering why now? Why allow the Raptors and the Clippers to even participate in trade negotiations because of the various moving parts that come from this? Holding this off, like, there's a question. I'll just go ahead and go out of order here really quickly. But there's a super comment that led the way here, so I'm going to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! And then get to the super comment here from Drew Gallegos, right? Who says, are free agents like Rui affected by the trade being paused? Will the Clippers be able to sign their free agents? The Raptors is a bagel a donut? Is a bagel a donut? No. Different cooking. Donuts are fried, and bagels, I believe, are baked. So two different things, but they both taste good if you make them well. Now, as far as the rest of free agency here for the Clippers and for Rui and for everybody, like, this is part of the reason that this entire investigation taking as long as it has fucks with so many people. It messes with Rui Hachimura and his money now. It messes with Peyton Watson potentially and his money, because the Clippers were trying to free up money to make him a restricted free agency offer. It messes with the players who were traded, you know, and the you know, I think it was like Grady Dick and Brandon Ingram. Like, those guys are now messed with as well, because they thought they were Clippers. And then now do they like go back to Toronto and wait to be traded again? Like, and then there's this weird clause where, like, technically speaking, this trade can go through if the Raptors are willing to bear the brunt of the league's punishment for the cap circumvention, which, what? Like, I reread that thing a few times, hoping that I read it differently. And I don't think I did, or I read it incorrectly. I don't think I did. So, like, this investigation lasting this long, when, by the way, Pablo Torre just keeps unveiling more increasingly incriminating evidence of these situations. I'm sorry. Like, this, it's great that Adam Silver remembered. Oh shoot, that's right. Dang, I knew I had something to do. But this investigation taking this long and allowing the Clippers to use their top five pick in this year's draft, allowing the Clippers to undergo and hold negotiations with the Raptors, who, ironically, could you imagine the Raptors being on the hook for conduct that was carried out by the Clippers that led to Kawhi Leonard leaving the Raptors in the first place? All of this shit is just such a debacle for the NBA, and it just gets worse every day that this goes along. And the timing of this makes me think that the league finally found something. The timing of this makes me think that the league finally unearthed incriminating enough evidence that they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We can't look the other way anymore. This is not reporting. This is purely speculation on my part. All of this evidence and the behaviors, all of this stuff are all just allegations right now. But I do think that at this point, the reason that this deal was now put on hold, teams can talk, teams can negotiate, teams can even agree in principle to these deals. But the moment that that trade call is placed, and the moment that, you know, a deal goes from a deal in principle to a deal in practicality, now all of a sudden it gets held to a higher standard. The investigation actually does have its ramifications. And I would imagine that the Clippers and Raptors made their call into the league to make this thing official. The league said, not a good time. and now all of a sudden, the deal to trade Kawhi Leonard back to Toronto is now placed on hold. So, I think that we'll probably get some kind of punishment, some kind of recourse to this situation fairly soon, because of some of the stuff that Drew Gallegos pointed out above. You have free agents that are waiting on this thing, and now if this trade is nixed altogether, and Rui Hachimura waited for a free agent market or signed a deal, and then now has that, like, the Clippers at that point wouldn't have the cap space to be able to sign that deal. Now Rui re-enters a free agent market that is completely dried up. This affects, by the way, Jonathan Kuminga, because if Rui does re-enter the free agent market at a time where the Lakers are trying to free up enough money to sign a free agent, and if Rui says, I'm just looking to stay in LA, I want to get paid a decent amount of money, and the Lakers say, okay, we will waive and stretch Jared Vanderbilt, open up $10 million a year. Are you willing to take that? And then all of a sudden, the Lakers get out from under, or at least they move some of J. Jared Vanderbilt's money. They signed their starting power forward, and Jonathan Kuminga is left hoping that the Atlanta Hawks now make him a more serious offer than he had gotten to this point. So like the dominoes that are now being like that are being stacked up as we speak, and waiting to be pushed over, like they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's been the case basically throughout this entire investigations process. Is every day that they have taken, they drug their feet to it finally arrive at even this moment where they feel they have enough evidence to at least uphold a trade deal. I think of all of the dominoes that have been stacked to this moment that are going to get pushed over the second that the actual punishment is brought upon the Clippers. So the reason that I started the show with this is because of the ramifications here for the Lakers as well. Also gave me an opportunity to play that old LOL Clippers clip from way back in the day. But also to once again hammer home the point that like Adam Silver has just absolutely bent this pooch over a chair, and it has so much dirt on his hands for how this has been carried out, to the point here where like if I were Rui Hachimura and this cost me a few million bucks because the cap space that the Clippers thought they were signing me with cost me opportunities on the free agent market elsewhere, if I were Rui Hachimura, I would sue the league, I would sue Adam Silver and be like, you guys cost me at least $4 million if the Lakers were only willing to pay me 10 when I signed a deal in the $14 million range. Like, this thing has ramifications to the point here where, like, if I were Rui's representation, I'd be paying extra close attention to the ramifications of how long this has taken. And not to mention the emotional impact on some of these guys as well. You were traded. You're not traded. No, wait, maybe you're traded. Nope, you're definitely not traded. Actually, yes, we're going through with the trade. Like, no, this has been such a disaster, and it's time to like finally have some closure on this situation. Let's see. The next thing that I wanted to talk about, completely awkward segue to a completely different subject, but Derek Fisher, I saw there was an interview and the clip, I think, is being taken out of context somewhat because that's what we do in the era of aggregation. I have a full answer here from Derek Fisher by way of Yahoo Sports Daily, I think is the show, where he talks about what he has noticed since LeBron and his people have made it known he was not returning to the Lakers this year.
That like a lot of people in LA didn't love LeBron's time here. And it's been confusing to me, the reaction to him deciding not to return to LA. A lot of people have celebrated it and you know, almost had a parade as though this is the greatest thing ever. I'm not saying this is doomsday for the Lakers and by any means. Like I think the organization will be fine. It's been here for 80 years. It'll be fine. But I'm surprised at some of the reaction for sure. And yeah, I think people have moved on. A lot of fans have.
So he went on to, they asked him a follow-up about, you know, why LeBron never felt as much of a Laker as some of the other superstars who either, you know, like in Kobe's case, right? He was a Laker from day one and finished his time as a Laker. Magic, same thing. Worthy, same thing. In the case of Shaq, right, who spent the same amount of time as a Laker as LeBron, Shaq was younger than LeBron was when he spent his time as a Laker and did his only winning to that point as a Laker. Kareem, right, came to the Lakers when he was a little bit younger, I believe, than LeBron, and did a lot more winning as a Laker than LeBron did. Kareem was also a collegiate athlete, right, at UCLA in Los Angeles. And also both Shaq and Kareem, their careers happened before social media, right? There wasn't like Magic stands who would get angry at Kareem stands if Kareem missed a game-winning shot. There weren't Kareem stands who were, you know, loudly anti-Shaq when he got there and became the most dominant center in Lakers history at his peak. There were like those conversations were limited to barbershops and radio airwaves and dining room tables. And as such, you have like in this era of social media, there's a it's a competition. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all these things. It's a competition to try to get your content out there so you benefit from the dopamine hit. And then even, you know, later in it, you know, at this point in this industry that we exist in now, there is financial benefit to being louder and to taking advantage of the algorithm and all of those things. And so, like I keep on saying it, people don't like it when I say it. The reason LeBron never felt like a Laker, and like Fisher did, you know, kind of touch on some of it too, right? Like LeBron was older. He was like fully 100% who LeBron is when he got to the Lakers. So that's a part of it too. But remember, the onset of Twitter at the very beginning of NBA Twitter was at the peak of Kobe versus LeBron. It was at the peak of LeBron's ascendance and Kobe's descendants, right? Just in terms of his career. And that was such a heated rivalry. It was so, like, such a hot topic. And there are a lot of Kobe fans, my mom among them, who just never bought into LeBron as a Laker because she never fucked with LeBron in the first place. And there are a lot of LeBron fans who, like, eased carefully into the waters of being a Laker because they hated the Lakers. That's who Kobe played for.